WGSNKMOX. A few minutes past 2 p.m. Attorney Brad Young joins us as he does a couple times a week. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Dave.
Really interesting stuff to talk about today. And I got to tell you, I brought this up in the first hour, and the guys were really fascinated by this question about Nick Reiner, who appears to have murdered his parents. And evidently, he had a trust fund set up by his parents of a significant amount of money. And he is asking the court to disperse that to him so that he can use it for his defense.
Well, it's so interesting. I mean, not just because it's, you know, it's fun to talk about this legal stuff, but anyone who's seen Knives Out knows the Slayer rule, right? And the Slayer rule from the first Knives Out movie is that you cannot kill somebody and then benefit from their murder by inheriting money. That's the Slayer rule. And it's in California. It's in many states. But that's the question is, does that apply? But let me break it all down here, because Nick Reiner is 32. Everybody knows he's accused of killing his parents. And it's been reported that he has a trust fund that's worth about at least $1.5 million, if not more. And at least what's been publicly reported, Dave, he was supposed to get half of that trust at age 30 and the balance at age 35. Now, the trust terms itself have not been made public. So we don't know what other conditions are in there. But the question becomes, was he due the money at age 30 and he just hasn't gotten it yet? Or is there some provision in the trust that says it allows the trustee to make his or her own independent determination of whether or not Nick should or should not get the money? Many trusts contain those clauses. And if it has any kind of a clause like that, that's probably why he did not get paid at 30, because of his reported mental health struggles. Hmm. And it may be why he's not getting paid now. Mm-hmm. But the Slayer rule really wouldn't apply, because technically the trust was started in 1993. And if he was in fact due money at age 30, that would have been before he killed his parents. So the money would have accrued prior to his act of slaying his parents. And so the whole thing rises or falls on the exact wording of the trust agreement.
Hmm. Wow. So there's a circumstance where he just, you know, he was doing fine. He didn't take the money, kills his parents, and says, now I want the money. And they go, okay, here you go.
There could be. I mean, at least what I've been reading online and this publicly stories about this, he hasn't got the money. He's asking for it. But it also raises a huge red flag. Why didn't he get this money a few years ago when he turned 30? That tells me there's a clause. It wasn't just, hey, man, I'm doing fine. I don't need the cash. I mean, who says that? So there must be some sort of a clause in the trust agreement that gives discretion to the trustee of the trust that allows the trustee to make an independent assessment as to whether or not Nick was or is not fit to get the money. And if he wasn't fit at age 30 before he killed his parents, he certainly isn't fit now, if there's any sort of qualification language in the trust agreement.
But Brad, if this were just a will, they left, you know, $20 million for the three kids split evenly in a will, the Slayer rule would apply there.
Maybe. It depends. This is why lawyers charge $300 and $400 an hour. Okay. Just to be honest with you, because it would depend on when the will was executed and when the beneficiary was going to get the money. If it was just a flat out will, on my death, you get a third of my estate, and then Nick kills his parents, the Slayer rule would absolutely apply, because he wouldn't have been entitled to the money until his parents died, and his parents died at his own hand. So yes, if it was just a straight out will, yes, the Slayer rule would apply. He gets nothing. But if there were, like many wealthy people have, where you have, even if it's a flat out will, you can be given sums of money at different times during the process that gets paid out even before they die, then there's that whole squishy question about whether he's entitled to it or not.
So I asked the law firm of Google and Google about the about the Menendez case. because that falls into what we're talking about. It's a very direct parallel. Apparently, they got to use most of the wealth left behind by their parents in their defense.
Interesting.
So by the time this reads, and again, this is Google search, right? This is, you know, not necessarily 100%, but it said that the probate record showed that about $10.8 million of the Menendez money was spent resolving the estate, with half of those going towards attorney's fees for the boys.
Hmm.
And then later on, by the time all the legal proceedings were concluded, the entire $14 million fortune was depleted by legal fees, taxes, mortgages, poor investments, and et cetera. So they didn't get all of it, but they certainly got to use that as part of their defense fund, which is interesting.
But was that from a trust or was that from an inheritance? Because that makes all the difference in the world.
All it says here is that it was part of the estate. It didn't say specifically one, but I would assume that means it's not a trust fund. If it says it's part of the estate, right?
But how this applies to this present situation is that the state law requires in California, just like Missouri and Illinois, mm-hmm. state law requires that disbursements from a trust are strictly construed to the wording of the trust agreement. And right now, we don't know what the trust agreement says. But since we know that Nick did not get half due, it was due to him at age 30, then we can conclude one of two things. Either A, Nick just said, what the heck, I'm doing fine, I don't need the money, which I think is unlikely. Or two, there was some sort of language in the trust that gave discretion to the trustee, which makes this different than the Menendez brothers.
Mm.
So if there is language in the trust agreement that gives the trustee discretion over whether or not Nick was grown up enough, mentally mature enough, mentally stable enough, whatever that language might be, to get the money, which would explain why he did not get it 2 years ago, then that explains why he's not getting it today and he's having to make a formal request for the money.
Let's talk about the UFC event on the South Lawn of the White House. I don't know if you guys saw this. I don't know how I didn't see this coming, but that big giant spider that they built lights up like the sphere. So we got that going for us. But there have been some lawsuits filed trying to stop it, Brad.
Yeah, a couple of plaintiffs in Virginia, they've got this organization called the Public Integrity Project. And I think this is the flaw in their legal reasoning. But they filed a lawsuit against the National Park Service, the Interior Department, and they're saying that they unlawfully authorized this event, which they characterize as being private and for-profit sports promotion dressed up as a America 250 celebration. But like so many times, Dave, we've talked on your show, this whole case initially comes down to, do the plaintiffs have standing? And standing, of course, for those who haven't gone to law school, means, you know, do you have a dog in the hunt? Do you have a pony in the race? Do you have an actual grievance that has to be adjudicated by the court? And if they're just filing the suit, which I read through the pleadings, it looks like they're just complaining because they think it's fraud or they think it's wasting taxpayers' dollars. That does not give standing, and courts have ruled that forever. You've got to have a specific allegation of harm. So unless these plaintiffs can show that they used this part of the White House grounds on a regular basis and that they were going to be displaced because of having a wrestling event on the White House grounds, which I can't even believe I'm saying, unless they can show specific harm to themselves, the case is probably going to get dismissed.
Okay. What's the latest in Festus?
Oh, my goodness. This is such a tempest in a teapot. The bottom line is that it came up before the city council, and everybody remembers this is all a big fight over data centers. And the previous city council agreed and issued contracts for a data center. The public rose up, didn't like it. They overthrew some people out of the council, and now they're trying to get a recall to bounce several other members of the council, including the mayor, off the city council. They got enough votes, or not votes, but signatures on a petition to have a recall vote. But under Festus municipal law, it's up to the city council to approve it, yes or no, and they voted it down. So now the question becomes, can they go out, can these people go out and file suit to force a recall election? And, you know, that's the real question of the day.
Very interesting. So I guess the people in power in Festus, I'm not accusing them like they're on the take or something, but they just must really believe with all of their heart and soul that this is the best thing for Festus in spite of what Festus seems to be saying.
That's true. But here again, it's all the devil's in the details here, Dave. And I did some legal research on this, and there's a very specific case on point. It's called State XRL City Council versus Gladstone. And from 1988, and in that case, exact same facts, except it wasn't with a data center, but people tried to file suit to when the city council voted against having a recall election. And in that case, the court came down and said the recall election has to be based upon specific allegations of misconduct, specific allegations of incompetence, and specific allegations of performing their duties. It cannot be simply based on repeating those words of misconduct, incompetence, or failure to perform duties. In this case, currently with Festus, that's exactly what these plaintiffs are doing. They're simply alleging misconduct, incompetence, and failure to perform duties without giving any specifics. So I think if they file suit to force a recall election, I think they're going to lose, because at least as of today, there's no evidence that the people who are trying to be recalled have committed specific misconduct, incompetence, or a failure to perform their duties.
Yeah, sometimes it's just...
Gotta bring receipts at some point, right?
Yeah, at some point it's just, we didn't like what you did.
Yeah.
That's not good enough.
Yeah, and the courts are going to say, you know what, we've already got a built-in mechanism for that. It's called the next election. And, you know, if we don't like what you're doing, then we're going to, you know, throw your butt out at the next election. But that doesn't mean that you get to kick them out of office early unless you have that evidence of misconduct, incompetence, or failure to perform duties. And I think that's how the whole thing at the end of the day is going to shake out.
People every now and then when I meet them will say, man, you're so hard on yourself. Why do you say you are not a good attorney? Because people like Brad Young exist. And whatever this thing he's talking about is research, I don't know. It seems to help. Brad, you're the best, man. Thank you.
My pleasure, guys.
Welcome back, DGS 222. I told the guys I feel so energetic today. I think it's because I actually slept through the night. I haven't done that in years.
Happy for you. That's exciting.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yep, sleep's the deal.
Let me blow you guys away. You probably know this, but it'll still blow you away.
Okay.
Think of the trillions of species we have on the planet.
Got them all.
99.9% of every species that's ever existed on the planet Earth is extinct.
Mm-hmm.
What? Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely crazy.
That's what happens when you've been around 4 billion years or so.
Yeah. Just nuts.
A lot of turnover.
I was laughing last night. I saw Waymo again last night in St. Louis with drivers. And I was wondering first, is Waymo the equivalent to us of the Model T? You know, we talked about when the Model T, the horseless carriage, went through town. And people were like, oh, my God, what is it? You know, are we just being that way and we're going to be made fun of by our grandkids? And then they said, I think it could have even been on our news. They said it's taking a little longer with St. Louis. They're trying to figure out the St. Louis driving. And I'm like, I'll see you in 10 years. Good luck, Waymo.
What part of it are they trying to figure out?
I guess the flow and just, you know, all the little idiosyncrasies of it, which I think would be almost impossible. That's like trying to figure out the patterns of a crazy person. Like St. Louis driving, that's the thing. There are a lot of things about St. Louis like, I don't know if we deserve that, but we deserve that one.
I don't know if it's any worse here than anywhere else I've lived.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You should try driving in Miami, dude.
No, I don't mean the
traffic.
Holy
crap.
I don't mean the traffic. We're spoiled brats about the traffic. I'm talking downtown St. Louis, keeping your head on a swivel because you don't know what people are going to do.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking
about. Well, that part, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, as far as like people making fun of us for not being down with the Waymos yet, I don't look at the situation and go like, that must be witchcraft, a car with no driver. Like, that's not, I just need proof that the tech is safe. I'm Amen. Open to it being safe, but it's clearly some things need to be worked out.
Yeah.
I have complete faith that that will eventually happen. It's just, I'm not on board right this moment.
And part of the problem is not only that, but how does that tech interface with human beings that are unpredictable and random?
Yeah.
Like, that's the part to me that, like, if everybody was in a self-driven car,
same.
I think it works.
Same.
Because the patterns are going to be the same, but we are not predictable. We are not the same. We are all different, and our unpredictability, heck, you could be the same person and drive different ways in three straight days. You could be fast, medium, and slow. You could take more chances or less chances, and I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, the tech has some ability to adapt on the fly, but is it that good?
Yeah. I agree. Remember, I don't know his first name is, Carl, Bovino, the a-hole Nazi guy from ICE that dressed like Goebbels in 1937. Thinking about running for president in 2028.
Well, good for him. Nobody knows who you are, bro.
Well, considering he got fired pretty quickly after all of that, good luck to you, sir.
Thought this was interesting. You know, we're talking about the American dream the other day. And some further statistics came out from this big study that they did. 44% of people under 30, American citizens, think that there are better countries than America, whereas 22% of people over 60 think that. It's a big gap.
Yeah.
And, well, they've both gone down.
Yeah, I think part of it is people that are, I mean, I'm not 60 yet, but I'm getting there. I think people my age and older, we have a lot of background where it was great. I mean, not great, but it was like easy. It was smooth, easy to get a house. It was not very, nothing was very hotly contested for a lot of our lives, right? That's a more new, that's a more modern thing. So that's only one percentage, smaller percentage for your, my experience and yours versus someone that's like Rach and Andrew's age, where it's a much higher percentage of their life where it's chaos. So I understand that. Also, better is all relative. There's no such thing as better or worse to me. I like it here because it suits me. You know, maybe the lifestyle in the Netherlands would suit some people better. Wouldn't suit me better. I like it here.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a silly question, right? Ultimately, like, who do you think's the best? And then it's like, oh, if you don't say the United States, then somehow, like, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Like, that, it's completely subjective.
Plus, like, if you visit Norway for a week and you walk away thinking, this is so superior to the United States, you're there a week.
Stay there for about a year and see.
Exactly. But then you can also see, like, even maybe people who haven't traveled and had the experience might go, like, yeah, I wish I had healthcare. I wish I had better job opportunities. I wish I felt more optimistic about the economy.
Yeah. What I always try to do is think that I am living through the adolescence of a country. I've raised two kids.
We're basically 13.
Yeah. Nick's 31. Phoebe's 21. Everyone goes a little haywire. You know, you think, oh my God, I failed my kids when they're 14 to 15. Then they come back to Earth. I think we're in our haywire stage.
Could be. I mean, when you look at us compared to a lot of other countries, we're way younger. Probably not an unfair description.
Yeah. Back, guys, DGS and KMOX 233. Ricky Horton's going to be with us at the top of the hour. I believe he is interviewing Ollie Marmol as we speak.
For the pregame, yeah.
I know stuff, Kev. Yeah. If you ever need anything, you have my number.
I got you, bud.
Text me.
Yep.
I'll let you know what's what. Speaking of baseball, I got a very exciting email today.
Oh.
So, you know, Julie Lally, she's our girl. Mm-hmm. She hooks us up with tons of stuff, guests, podcasts, the whole bit. And she does some work with Rawlings. And I said, you know, there's no bigger fan of Rawlings than me. And she mentioned it. And it turns out that Rawlings is a big fan of the DGS.
Nice.
And they've invited me to come in and create my own custom glove.
Oh, boy.
I couldn't be more excited. This is like...
What color are you going to make it?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I don't like the flashy.
You don't.
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, man, you really had me.
Gotcha.
I'm flashy. I don't know. I have a red Rawlings, Heart of the Hide, that I bought about a year ago.
That's,
I love.
By my standard, that's flashy as hell.
Yeah, that's flashy. That's about as flashy as I get.
Yeah.
I like black.
Yeah, I get. I'm a black glove guy.
Are you?
Yeah.
Got a couple of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited, though.
Mm-hmm. It's cool.
You should come with me and watch me get my glove.
There you go. I'll make it. I'll throw in some flash for you. Need some neon.
Screwed me up with that flashy thing.
Sorry.
Let's do a DJS happy hour. Anyone got anything?
I've got a story here.
Okay.
I know it's horrible to lie to people and to scam them and to grift, but sometimes people reach a level of grifting where I'm actually a little impressed that they were able to pull it off. And this is one of those cases. There was a 37-year-old Brazilian woman who was arrested for spending over a year impersonating a 12-year-old girl.
What?
Yeah. So she posed as a runaway named Gabrielle, and she convinced some volunteers at a church and a family in that church to take her in. And she lived with the family for 14 months and just acted like a child. So this is some of the things she did to convince you that she was 12. She would carry pacifiers. She would drink from baby bottles. And this one's bad. She would fake panic attacks. And they were like, I don't know. I guess she's 12. She looks 37, but she says she's 12 and she has a pacifier. She told the family she suffered from a condition caused by forced hormone treatments. And that explained her older appearance.
Have you seen her?
I have seen her. She looks 37. She does not look like a child.
You know what? If a 37-year-old presented sucking on a pacifier saying I'm 12, like, how many red flags you need?
Well, she pulled it off for about 14 months, and then finally a relative of the family was like, this is weird, right? And they started Googling her and doing some investigating.
And how'd they hook up?
She went to a church and asked for help, and family within the church, like, very nicely decided to take her in. This relative of the family discovered she had a history of similar scams. So she was just arrested and has confessed to the fraud, and she's being held and undergoing a court-ordered psych evaluation.
Yeah, that's probably warranted.
She should probably get that for the people that bought it.
Yeah. I want to take a look at them.
I mean, yeah, there's just times where you're just being too nice, you know? You're allowing someone
difference.
To lie to your face and going like, well, I have no reason to disbelieve this 37-year-old, 12-year-old. She says she's not lying, so I have to bring her into my home.
What was the other thing? Pacifier and what was the other thing?
Baby bottles. I don't know any 12-year-olds who drink out of baby bottles.
Nope.
Yeah, I was going to say, it feels like a pretty big sell.
Like, that's a tough putt.
Do 12-year-olds do that ever?
It's a tough putt.
Because normally, you know, when you're getting to be 11, 12, you're like, I'm almost a teenager. You're trying to act older. You're not trying to act younger. I don't know very many 12-year-olds are like, you know, treat me like I'm a little baby. And they're like, no, I'm almost 13.
Keep going.
No, I'm good.
Wheels, what do you got?
God, I can go any number of ways, but...
How are you going to top the 37-year-old?
I'll be honest with you.
She screwed you on that one.
I don't think I can top that. I will say that I found out that the world's going to end in 2029.
Nice.
Oh, man.
Nice.
So I was driving to work the other day, coming down Tucker from 70, and there's a dude right near the McDonald's, big sign. He pasted this thing together, very clear writing. I got stuck at the stop sign. He looked like somebody that might ask for money, but he wasn't asking for money. He was just holding this sign and, like, pointing at people. Like pointing and probably trying to get your attention so you would read his sign. So the apocalypse is happening in 2029, just so you guys know. It's going to start, I think, in the spring, and then it's going to end whatever it is, 40 days later, 45 days. How long is the tribulation? I don't know. He listed it on
it's
there.
It's supposed to be like 7 years.
Seven, is it? I don't know. That's not what he said. He said it's going to be like 45 days.
Interesting.
Got the whole timeline of everything, too. Like, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening. So he convinced me. Plus, he had his name and phone number on there, so it must be legit.
Have you seen him again?
I have not seen him again.
If you do, let's get him on the show.
Man. Well, his name and number was on there. I didn't write it down.
No danger in that.
No, not at all. Yeah, nothing weird. So we got that going for us. We know we got 3 years.
Okay.
Man, I'm not even going to make it to 40.
That's more time than I thought I had.
Why do we always fall for these things, by the way? Like, every generation has thought the world was ending. I mean, the people that wrote the Bible thought the world was ending, thought the Savior was coming back in their lifetime, which is why they said, don't bother with material things. Don't even bother with marriage. You don't need it because this is happening soon. Why have humans kind of, I don't want to say always, but so frequently thought the world was ending?
Probably because there's always been someone telling them it is, and we're pretty gullible.
Mm. Well, and it's also just sometimes the crushing weight of existence.
Damn. Wow.
Well, I'm just saying, like, it's like, well, what if it was just over?
I'm going to have your back on this. The other day, remember I said that someone said, are you afraid of dying? And I said, not afraid of not existing, but I'm afraid of the process. And then I saw a thing that said, what if you're in a bar and the angel of death sits next to you and says, hey, Dave, it's time. This is how it works. What's your initial reaction? And I don't want to scare anyone. I'm not suicidal. But my initial reaction, first it was, wow, this is real. And then it would be, oh, thank God. Like, this is over. I don't have to worry anymore. I don't have to have anxiety anymore. I don't have to blah, all that stuff. And then the third emotion would have been like right now? Like, you're talking right now? Like, maybe in a week? So, because the crushing weight of existence.
Yeah, and it's not like a depression thing or anything like that. It could just feel like a lot sometimes. It could just feel like a lot. So I think sometimes the general public, or maybe the people who are prone to hope for or believe in the end being soon, is just like, maybe it's just too much to think about things going on for longer than they're going.
If a relatively successful white guy in 2026 says his first reaction to the angel of death would be like, oh, thank God. How do you think they felt in like 500 AD? Like, when someone said, well, you know, it's going to end, they're like, oh, right on, because this blows.
Yeah, maybe.
So I think last night.
I feel like we like upset Wheeler.
No, I don't want to add anything because it'll make you guys mad.
No, go ahead. No, it's fine. Know. We already know. You think we're losers.
I don't want to be the guy. I don't want to be the turd in the punch bowl again.
No, you're the opposite. We're the turds.
Yeah, we're the ones going like, yeah, isn't it hard?
You guys are all there. And I'm like, if he says that to me, I'm like, no, you got to fight me for that.
You're the punch.
You got to fight me for that. We're not just agreeing on this.
What if he was nice, though?
It doesn't matter. Like, doesn't matter.
So you never get overwhelmed.
You got to take me by force.
Never get overwhelmed by life.
I guess not, because I don't really, I'm not saying that things don't get difficult, right? You know, like when my mom was having open heart surgery, that's a big thing, right? That's a big, big thing. There's weight to that. But overwhelmed, no, it didn't get, no, no.
Yeah, because I don't, I'm with you, Dave. I don't want people to think that I'm like in a bad place or something bad. It's not that at all. It just, sometimes I think like, oh, what if a wizard visited me and they were like, hey, we can send you back to when you were a baby and you could just do it all over. I'd be like, I'm good. I'm good. I don't want to do that again.
A do-over is so cool.
You don't even belong on this show.
Well, do you get to remember it? Because if you do, you get to fix the thing. You could do things better.
But even if I could fix it, I would still mess up other stuff.
Sure.
And then it's just like, man, I got to do all that again? I don't know.
This is the video gamer in me, right? Because when I don't get a stage perfectly right, I'm going to go back and do it again.
We're getting way too, like, this is not great radio conversation, but I really... When I was a kid, I enjoyed being a child, but I enjoy the freedom I have as an adult so much more than I enjoyed being a kid.
Yeah.
Like, calling my own shots, that's nice.
Yeah.
I don't want to go back to a place where it's like, I just have to do what somebody says all the time. Like, no, sorry, not doing it again. Sorry, wizard. Take your offer back.
But you could be a 37-year-old pretending to be 12.
I could. That I could. Yeah, I kind of don't understand why she wanted to do all of that. It's like, now you have a bedtime. What are you doing?
Yeah. You're drinking out of bottles.
You can go have your own apartment.
On the plus side, you don't have to work.
I guess. I guess if you're just super lazy, it's easier to just...
I was working when I was 12.
Pretend to be 12 24/7.
Why do you think I'm so friggin' tired? Speaking of deaths, we lost a 57-year-old orangutan.
Yeah.
At the St. Louis Zoo, Mira.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they said she was super sweet. She looked very sweet. She was a mother of three, a grandmother of two, and a great-grandmother of one. I believe she lived her whole life in captivity. Good thing.
She was the second oldest orangutan in North America. Passed away at the age of 57.
Is what part's a good thing?
Not a good thing that she died, but that she lived, like, let's just say that she was born in captivity,
right.
Never saw the jungle.
Right. I don't know, because I wish we could better understand what the zoo animals are, like, what the details of what they're thinking. Like, are they just constantly pissed? Like, this sucks, man. I can't go anywhere. Or are they like, I don't even have to work. They just give me food. Yeah. I just chill and get people take pictures and they give me food. So
I'm going to say my completely uneducated opinion on this. It's probably better to be in captivity the whole time than it is to be taken out of the wild. Or they try to put you back into the wild. Like, you have no idea what you're doing at that point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's probably in captivity is probably the best case scenario if captivity is entering the picture. But I'm not going to say captivity is better than living a life out in the wild.
It might also be I'm assuming that they don't think the same detailed way that we do, although they think more deeply than we think they do. Because elephants get stressed, for example. We know that they have behaviors that they describe, that they can see that they're either bored or they're not happy or they're not comfortable. Like, there are physical, you know, manifestations of that. But I would say that if you're a predator, the wild sounds way better. And if you're the prey, the zoo sounds way better. But it's a very human way of looking
at it.
The zoo,
you got your pacifier, you got your baby bottle, you're 12 forever at the zoo.
You know, there's an analogy to human life, because I was thinking about this analogy as you guys were speaking, and then Wheels, when you said, if you're a predator, you want to be in the wild.
Yeah.
And if you're a human predator, and I don't mean like a real one, I mean like a billionaire, you know, like I got life by the haunches. Like, yeah, you probably want to be out there.
Yeah.
But if you're not doing so great and someone said, hey, we'll give you three meals a day and people just take pictures of you.
Would you like to be in a zoo?
Yeah.
It's a nice couch, some video games. You're in your natural environment.
I can be the first exhibit at the St. Louis Human Zoo.
I gotta lie, man. If you just built the enclosure to be my man cave and a kitchen.
Let people watch you.
That might not be terrible.
Happened to Roddy McDowell in the Twilight Zone.
Did it really?
Yep. Welcome back, DGS on KMOX. So we haven't mentioned Trump at all today. We made it 2 hours. I didn't watch much of it live last night. I turned in pretty early, but I woke up this morning to the Trump curse. I saw the videos where he got booed and falling asleep. And, you know, everyone in New York just being even pisseder at him now. And interesting stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he clearly had nothing to do with why the Knicks lost.
Clearly.
I mean, that's clear. That stuff, I'm assuming, is people joking.
Yeah.
I can't imagine anybody thinks that serious. But you're such a big fan of the team that you'll fall asleep during the game. Must have been jacked up for that really big NBA Finals game, the first New York home game in the NBA Finals in 30 years. Must have been really excited about that if you're falling asleep.
I'm curious about his decision, because for as much as I dislike Trump, I don't think he's stupid. Certainly not with, like, marketing and things like that. So I'm not, like, I predicted this. I could see this was going to happen, but I had like 10% of me going, well, he probably knows better than me. Maybe he's got something going on. But no, what I thought was going to happen happened. I just don't know what he was thinking.
Well, it's the biggest story in New York, and being there puts him in the middle of the biggest story in New York.
I guess.
It seems that simple. Maybe it's not, but it seems that simple. And again, what we talked about, you know, yesterday on this with presidents in general, not just him, but presidents in general going to these things. I understand they're human, but God, does it jack everything up?
Yeah.
You know, the lines get longer. I mean, how much money was lost in that general vicinity, downtown New York, where all the restaurants and bars had to be closed, and all these people that had a chance to make windfall money that never happens, right? They haven't been in the NBA Finals in 30 years to have this windfall day. Maybe one of only two or three home dates you're going to have in the NBA Finals, because you don't have more than that. Why would you think that you being there, and this is you, whether you're Donald Trump, Barack Obama, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, whatever, why would you think that you being there is more important than that? Those people making that money in such a significant way.
I don't understand. I didn't realize that they were closing bars and restaurants because
of
this.
Shut down the watch parties that were going on outside Madison Square Garden.
It was a 10-block radius. Yeah.
See, yeah. I don't understand why. I mean, you have that stadium full of people. And you're just going like, oh, everybody in here is cool because they what? They walk through a metal detector? Do you really think you got every single person? Like, I don't know. It just feels so dumb to then, like, people who aren't even going to the game can't mill about outside. They can't go have a beer at the bar.
I agree.
What about the owners of those businesses? That's awful.
Yes, this is what I'm saying. And again, I know it sounds like it's an anti-Trump thing. It's not. I feel the exact same way about it. Just stay home.
So, question about Trump. He, I think I know the answer to it, but it's my Trump derangement syndrome. He was clearly booed. I mean, it wasn't even close. Every outlet's reporting that he was booed. But when he was asked about it, when he was getting on Air Force One, he goes, yeah, I thought it was a pretty great response. Mostly cheers. Do you think he really thinks that?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he really thinks that. I just think this is what he always does, is he just tries to control the narrative, and he wants the narrative to be that it was a success. So I don't think he heard cheering necessarily. I think it's just, what is he going to stand there and say, like, yeah, it really hurt my feelings when they booed me.
Right.
Wish they hadn't have done that.
Told you earlier that turns out the big spider on the South Lawn for the UFC has lights, and it's all lighting up at night now and looking like Dave and Buster's. And also, the president is selling a $12,000 UFC coin with his face on it. Get them while they last. Probably literally. He always sells out of these things.
Selling this stuff isn't a violation of, code of ethics and behavior for an elected official?
Well, I don't think anyone's ever done it.
Because you're not supposed to be able to monetize your position in the government.
Right.
But what is this if not that?
He sold a lot of stuff.
I mean, it must be technically legal, or maybe only Congress can do anything about it. And obviously, Congress is in his favor. So, but just,
yeah.